very, very quickly, we are looking at the way of God's power. And this is part three of the way of God's power. We saw this, started this message on Wednesday midweek service. Psalm 63, verse 1, all the way to verse 2. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Our objective is to understand the way into God's power. We live in a world today and in a time today where power, the power of God, is a critical necessity for survival. Power for survival. You can imagine a man testifying that if someone has lived for 32 years in his family, he has lived long enough to die. That has been the trend. Losing people in rapid succession until he lost up to 6 or 7 siblings. It was his turn to die. Nothing working. Nothing to show for even the 32 years of existence. Because every good thing was inside the belly of a python. He continued in that condition until God's power and presence located him. He's celebrating 50 years. That is 18 additional years above the limit they gave to him. It takes power to overcome satanic wickedness. It takes power to sustain motion, to move and keep on moving, and not and for your destiny not to be arrested. It takes power to sustain motion. It takes power to overcome wickedness. It takes power to sustain motion. It takes power to prevail and not travail. It takes power to succeed and not struggle. What is the way into God's now? And above all, let me say this. It takes power to fulfill destiny. That is, to become everything God wants you to become in life, you require power. You require power to become everything God wants you to become. To reach where God wants you to reach, you require power. You require power. Because the forces that don't want you to reach where you are going are myriad. And you shall reach there. You say that you believe that, say louder, amen. Say in the name of Jesus, by the power of God, I shall fulfill my destiny. In the name of Jesus. What is the way into power? We looked at that from last Sunday, number one. We said being born again last Wednesday. We might not get into details, but being born again is number one. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Number two, flowing in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Catherine Coleman once said the secret of power is the Holy Spirit. Number three, is flowing in worship and praise. The place of worship is the place of power. The place of praise is the place of power. We saw the practical demonstration of this on Sunday service. It was awesome. On Wednesday midweek service. Number four, is seeking God early. Oh Lord my God, early will I seek you to see thy power and thy glory. Early will I seek you to see thy power and thy glory. Early will I seek you. We looked at all of that last Wednesday. Now, from today we began to see number five now, desperate desire for God's power. That a man must be desperately desirous, must be tired of powerlessness to see God's power. Desperate desire for God's power. We saw that. And then the sixth we saw was the lifestyle of prayer. That the place of prayer is the place of power. Prayerlessness equals powerlessness. We saw that in the last service. And then number seven is light from the word. Light from the word. The word is pregnant with power. According to scripture, where the word of the king is, there is power. Every fresh word we see ushers us into fresh power. Light from the word. And then number eight, we saw the lifestyle of humility, death to self. If God will give you grace, he will give you grace on the grounds of humility. And grace goes hand in hand with power. We saw that in the last service. Going forward, we'll look at four more points in this service. That will take us to number nine. Or number five for today. And it's titled, The Determination to Give It What It Takes. Determination to give it what it takes. You have made the decision to walk in God's power. You need the determination. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 to 12, Paul the apostle said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. And it's not as if I am already perfect, but I follow after. If I will apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I am pursuing, I am pressing to arrive at the place of power. You must apply pressure in the spirit. There is no rise without a price. There is no rise without a price. There is no power without price. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3 says, then shall we know if we follow on to know if we pursue. What is it that gets you to see the power of God? The determination to give it what it takes. And what is the meaning of that? It means the determination to go all the way with God. All the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. The determination to go all the way, all the way. If he went all the way to Calvary for me, I will go all the way. The determination. Secondly, it means the determination to hold nothing back. In the pursuit of God's best. In the pursuit of God's best. In the pursuit of God's best for my life. I am holding nothing back. In the pursuit of God's best. And thirdly, it is the determination to lay it all on the altar. Laying it all. These are keys to accessing the power of God.
Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back. Walk upon me, Lord, both in and out. Conform me, O Lord, unto your plan, till I become all you have in mind for me. Till I become all you have in mind for me. Lord, I'm in your hands, holding nothing back. Walk on me, O Lord, both in and out. Conform me, O Lord, unto your plan, till I become all you have in mind for me. Till I become all you have in mind for me.
Laying it all on the altar. Whatever it takes, Lord, I will give it to see your best. When I was in the university, this was a covenant and agreement I made with God. You know, until you understand people's covenants, you don't understand their blessings. Until you understand their covenants, you don't understand their mantle. The agreements they entered with God. Lord, whatever it takes to reach the best, I am ready to go. Just show me the price. And I don't mind if I have to wear only a little singlet. That is, if I have to give up even my cloth to reach where you want me to reach. The determination to give it all it takes. Number 10 is the lifestyle of fasting. We looked at prayer in the last service. Now, fasting. Fasting. The door of power bows to the key of fasting. The door of power bows to that key of fasting. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Provided they wait on the Lord, they are not permitted to lack strength and power. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6 and 8. This is the fasting I have chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness. In other words, when you connect me in the fast, you will have enough power to break the bands of wickedness and to loose, undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed to go free. When the disciples could not cast out a certain devil, in Matthew chapter 17 verse 21, he said, how be it, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. If you look at the Bible, you will see two symbols of power in the Old Testament. Two symbols of power. Two individuals that symbolize above every other person the power of God. Those two were the same that were called up at the mountain of transfiguration. What were their names? Moses and Elijah. Moses broke into power like no other person before him. Elijah broke into power. Whatever Joshua did was a function of what Moses had done before. Whatever Elisha did was a function of what Elijah did before. So Elijah, Moses, Elijah were power brokers in the kingdom. These two did fastings like you drink water. Moses did 40 days twice. Elijah, 40 days on an angel food. Well, those were supernatural, spiritual or supernatural kind of fast. But these were the things that these people did. If you go to the New Testament, you will see two other symbols of power. And I'm sure you know them. The number one is what? Who? Our Master Jesus Christ. Fasting was his life. 40 days, then he stepped into the wilderness. and returned in power. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 14. And then the second symbol was Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle fasted like water in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. From verse 25, thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Keep on going. Keep on going. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, in fastings. What does fasting do? One, fasting amplifies spiritual hunger, passion, and desire. It amplifies spiritual hunger. It amplifies passion. It amplifies desire. It is the way you see the sunlight in the sun in the air. For thousands of years, it has never burnt any wood. But get a magnifying glass and use it to focus the heat of the sun on a piece of paper. It catches fire. How many of you did that experiment before? Use it on a dry log of wood. It starts burning. You can set a forest on fire by focusing the rays of the sun, the heat of the sun that has been there, that has not done so much. That is how fasting focuses your hunger, focuses your passion, focuses your desperation. It focuses your faith to produce so drastic. Somebody say aloud, amen. There was a time in my life that I did very, very many desperate fastings. Back to back, back to back. Every January was a very, very dangerous, terrible, desperate fast. Until the weight loss becomes so drastic. Some of you used to notice it at that time. So drastic and so very drastic. And it's one thing I can tell you. At such times, faith is at its peak. What they call fear, doubt, is zero. 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 What does fasting do? Second, fasting releases the spirit. Everything that deprives the flesh releases the spirit. It is a release of the spirit. Fasting empowers the spirit of man. Fasting emphasizes the spirit of man. Releases the spirit. What does fasting do? Thirdly, fasting intensifies spiritual sensitivity. Your senses are sharpened. Spiritual senses are sharpened. You are ready to receive easily in the spirit. And this is how it works. You can hear easily. And you are permitted to be heard easily. Heard by God, heard by devils. It is the release. Spiritual signals are multiplied in the fasting season. Counselors, when it is time to fast, fast revelationally, not just religiously. Fast how? Revelationally. Let scripture guide your fast. Let light, insight guide the fast.
Let the fasting period not be a period of punishment for God. Let me punish myself until God hears me. It is not punishment, it is enlightenment. Enlightenment. That was what Isaiah chapter 58 and in verse 8 said. That when you fast well, then your light will break out. It's a season for the breaking forth and the breaking out of light. Light, light insight. Fast revelationally. Fast obediently. Am I communicating? There is something we call a prayer burden. The burden for prayer. When all of a sudden you feel like praying. You just want to enter a closet and pray. Whenever you have such a feeling, don't continue talking. Don't continue gisting. Don't continue chatting off your phone. Step into the closet and begin to pray. Whenever you have a prayer burden, it is either there is one good thing God wants to do in your life that He wants you to pray it in, or there is one bad thing the devil wants you to do that God wants you to pray out. Did you hear what I just said? Once there is a burden, it is either there is something good God wants to do that He wants you to pray in, or there is something bad the devil is planning to do that God wants you to pray out. It is an opportunity time that must not be overlooked. If you avoid the prayer burdens at times, in most likelihood, there is something good that escapes you, or something bad that accesses you because you failed to pray. Am I communicating? That is what is called be sensitive in the spirit. When the prayer burden comes, follow it. In the same manner that you have a call to pray, there is also a call to fast. Hello? You didn't plan yesterday that you will fast on Monday. But Monday arrives and food loses taste. Don't force yourself to eat when the appetite is not there. Don't force yourself to eat because it is time to eat. Don't force yourself to eat because breakfast is served. It is not written anywhere. Whenever breakfast is served, thou must eat. Is it in the Bible? Maybe it's in your Bible. That is my own life and my relationship with food. Nothing is compulsory. Food is on the table. Food has been prepared. Food is ready. No, I am not ready. Let food alone be ready. It is better for the food to spoil than for what God wants to do in my life to spoil. Do you understand what I'm saying? What God wants to do in my life can make me a manufacturer of that particular food line. There is a call to fast that may come. You suddenly don't feel like eating. Maybe you start in the morning, and maybe by 3 o'clock the burden is lifted, and then after you have prayed by 3, it's not compulsory that it says reach 6 or reach 7 or reach 10 or 9. It's not compulsory. There are also times where by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't feel like taking anything anymore. No, nothing is compulsory to say you must eat the dinner. You skip it. You sleep. The last food you ate was 3. You take it over overnight. Maybe you continue. Maybe the next time you have the liberty to eat will be 6 p.m. tomorrow. You have done 27 hours fast. 3 p.m. today to 3 p.m. tomorrow is 24 hours. Plus 3 hours, 6 p.m. is 27 hours.
If you live like that, you are literally a bomb in motion. Ready to blow every devil's head anywhere. You don't, in that life, you don't get ready. You are living ready. You are living ready. You are living in readiness. You don't have the time to prepare. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, and the disciple says, why could we not cast that devil out? He said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. What does it mean? That every time you see a devil, go and fast before you come back for that devil. The devil may have killed the person, if possible, before you return. Go and fast before you. No. The fasting that will tackle this devil, you fasted it since. You fasted it yesterday. You fasted it before that devil arrived. Somebody getting anything new and any light? It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. Maybe for a particular 7 days, God does not want you to eat breakfast. For a particular 21 days, the earliest time you ate was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. After that, maybe the burden is lifted and you can go normal. Uncle, do you need a bed? I see someone dozing in the midst of this heated preaching. And I was wondering whether he needs a bed to assist him to fulfill the vision of sleeping during the service. Hallelujah. I see something new happening to somebody. If you are the one, say aloud, amen. One day, a major servant of God was coming to our church, mega vessel. And I said, this person is passing through here. Nothing will cross this mouth, whether water or food, until I have made an encounter and connected with something that is in that vessel. So day one, day two, day three, nothing. Just very desperate. Praying, fasting. Every single thing that needs to be done until that vessel came and he left. And there was a deposit and the burden lifted. Adam lost something because he ate something. Esau lost something because he ate something. Judas Iscariot entered problem because he ate something. Many times there is something to gain when you forfeit eating. Did you hear what I just said? Many times there is something to gain when you forfeit eating legitimately. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the Lord must say amen. I prophesy today, something new is happening to somebody. Somebody's life is changing levels. Shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. The lifestyle of fasting. Number 10. Okay, we're in number 10 now. This will now be number 11. Is faith in the heart. Faith in the heart. Take 3 things to heart. Number 1. The availability of faith is the availability of power. Power cannot be absent where faith is present. The availability of faith is the availability of power. Acts chapter 6 verse 8 talks about Philip or Stephen, who was full of faith and power. You cannot be full of faith and be empty of power. Second, the work of faith is manifested in power. The work of faith. Anywhere faith is as at work, the evidence of it is power. The work of faith is manifested in power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power. Everywhere faith is at work, it is manifested in power. Many guest ministers came here during the course of this NIFES program in the last 3 days. Uncle Gbele Akoni from Peace House, several of them. One of the guest ministers told me, he said, I've watched this, not Uncle Billy now, someone else. He said, I've watched this place on television. But when I came in, it was like the story of the Queen of Sheba. Half of it was not told. Now he said this. He said, I was able to appreciate the level of faith that went in to make a thing like this happen. Am I communicating? The level of faith that went in. Is faith needed? Too much. Faith for unbelievable supernatural supply in the midst of drastic economic recession. This roof was in millions of dollars, USD, millions of it. Original agreement signed with the roofing company in Houston in America when the dollar was 190. One naira to 190. And in the middle, I mean, before we could go find the construction, it has gone to 500. That is construction cost multiplied 3-4 times. And you are using naira to buy the dollar. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The work of faith. And you know that finances require power. Deuteronomy 8:18, he giveth you power to do what? Power is not only for blind eyes seeing or deaf ears hearing or the deliverance from witchcraft. It takes power to conquer resources. Because there are forces that may be contending with your portion, that you need the power to force them out. Oh yes, you need the power to force them out. You need the power to tell them, this belongs to me. They say, but nobody in your family has ever reached there. And then you tell them, I will be the first person to reach there. But they say, nobody from your lineage should ever near this realm. You tell them, I will be the first one to near this realm. Say, everybody before me may have inherited generational curses, but everybody after me shall inherit generational blessing. If generational curses are possible, generational blessings are more possible. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. The work of faith is accompanied with power. Thirdly, faith is always the switch of power. Every time you turn on faith, you have turned on power. Faith is the switch of power. That was what the woman with the issue of blood did. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 29, the woman with the issue of blood switched on power by her faith. And virtue flowed. faith is a switch of power. Somebody say amen.
What is faith all about? You know it. But faith is understanding the word of God enough to believe it. Many of us don't believe because we don't understand. Understanding what God is saying enough to believe it. And behave it. And declare it. Did you understand what I'm saying? You understood what God is saying enough to believe it, to behave it, to declare it. So when God sees your behavior in faith, he moves to confirm. It's simple. When they broke the roof, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. And he said to the man, you are healed. So God is watching your behavior. He's watching how you behave to confirm whether faith is present. My God shall supply all my needs, and you are borrowing from everybody. And you are living as a beggar. Your prayer is already answered. God is watching your behavior to confirm the availability of faith in order to move. I think it's easy. Jesus saw their faith. Paul was preaching in Lystra in Acts chapter 14. He preached unto a point where he saw a man that was impotent in his feet. In verse 8 thereabout. The Bible said, and when Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed, he commanded him to stand. He did not command him until he perceived faith. The same head Paul speak, who steadfastly believed him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he spoke with a loud voice, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And the man did not stand. He leaped, he jumped. It's very simple. Your behavior is a confirmation of your believing. So at times we behave and people think you are proud. No, it's not proud. You are just depending on God and letting God know you are my source. Because God is watching your behavior to step in to confirm your faith. That was why when he said to the lepers, go and show yourself to the priest, and they agreed and started going, their leprosy disappeared. Because you show yourself only to the priest when you are healed. They are not yet healed and they are going to show themselves to the priest. So he healed them on the road. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. We have not taken a loan or an overdraft as a church from the beginning till today, till tomorrow, till Jesus comes. Not one dime overdraft. Not a loan, not an overdraft. Not one. From the beginning of this church till the end. Till Jesus comes. The project of God is inside the budget of God. If God does not have a budget for it, we are not interested in embarking on the project. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is, I mean, so God sees the ruggedness of, well, the Area 1 church was being built. The back of it, the office tower, that little tower. Then, 10 million naira was what was left to finish it. And the 10 million was nowhere to be found. One bank came to us. And they said, we see how much you have tried in this construction. Can we give you this 10 million? How much do you need to finish up this place? This 10 million. All right, can we give it to you? That tail there, that one at the tail back there, that end there. Can we give it to you? Do you know the condition? The condition is that during every service, they will come to church. And all the offering, everything, they will carry it to the bank. And then they say, our people will join them to count there. Hey! And they will carry it and be counting it until the money is complete. How will Jehovah feel that a bank pocketed his church? Kingdom practices cannot be done anymore. Church can't pay tithe. Church can't do nothing anymore. It's taken to the bank. I said, what an insult. I said, let that construction remain unconstructed instead of insulting God like that. We are not interested in the money. So they left. In a short while, the 10 million came and completed the project. That 10 is 10 million now a testimony today. Little concrete from one side to one side here cost 33 million here. This ground, little concrete on the ground. A little segment of this construction here, just a small segment on the ground. We overtook that sales. When we had the crusade at the stadium, 2007, Ron Kinoly came. That same bank came and said, can we partner with you? Yes, that same bank came. Can we partner with you for this crusade? I said, and well, how much did they plan to give? 1 million. Then I said, what is the implication of the partnership? He said, during the program, you know, the screen of the stadium, the bank will be advertising their bank there. I said, so everybody will say that the bank is the one who paid the money for this crusade because of 1 million. Out of more than 17 million, the rental of the place was, I think, 5 million. Then you drop another 5 million as caution deposit, 10 million for a start. And you give us 1 million. And then we advertise, and the billboard is showing from night till morning. And everybody will say, no wonder. These dynamics, we don't know their secret. This is the bank. I said, we are not interested again. So they left. So there was one man who wanted to borrow from that bank. A pastor man wanted to borrow money for a certain project. So he met the bank manager. The bank manager said, we need shorty that will shorty you in this loan. It's okay. I know Dr. Paul and NJ. He's a good man. He can shorty me. The bank said, no way. He said, the person who will not take loan for himself will shorty another person. Won't go. He won't agree. Let me advise you, he will not agree. That is the crusade at the stadium that the bank wanted to take the glory for. 2007. That is 16 years ago, right? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So God is watching your behavior. So now, when he releases supply en masse, people will be wondering, he's watching our behavior. He said, you say, I am your only source. I have seen other sources. So let the other sources assist you for a while. Let's see. Did you understand faith a bit today? Look at your neighbor. Say, don't struggle about faith. What you're believing and watch your behavior, and the result will take care of itself. Give the Lord a big clap of hand, a big shout of praise, and take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you the praise and give you the honor in the name of Jesus. And finally, after faith in the heart, the final is the lifestyle
of uprightness. Uprightness is the bedrock of boldness. And boldness will move God to action. Proverbs 28 verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. It's the bedrock of boldness. Secondly, uprightness attracts the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 to 2, he says, God's eyes are not, the Lord's hand is not shutting that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. God wants to move, but he said, there are things in your life that separates me from you. Thirdly, uprightness is the door of glory. Is the door of glory. And you know glory is the twin of power. It's the door of glory. Who is like unto you, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Amongst the gods, who is like thee? You are glorious in holiness and fearful in praises. Do in wonders, hallelujah. Glorious in holiness. You want to see his glory clean out your life. And glory is a twin of power. Isaiah chapter 63 Psalm 63 verse 2. To see thy glory and thy power. When you see power, you see glory. When you see glory, you see power. And when we clean up, we are able to see his power. One of the things we even clean out the most, like I said in the first service, is the cleaning out of pride, the cleaning out of arrogance, the cleaning out of ostentatiousness, to clean them out. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Conclusion this morning is the same as the conclusion of the first service. If you want God to make the deposit, you must meet the demands. You want God to make the deposit of power, you must meet the demands. You must meet the demands. Catherine Coleman said, whatever you are trusting God for is not hard. The question is, are you willing to pay the price? Then she adds, I'll be lying to you if I say the price is cheap. Then she says, but what do you want the most out of life? Whatever you want in God is possible, but you must be willing to pay the price. She says, I will be lying if I say the price is cheap. But the question is, that she's still talking. What do you want the most out of this life? What do you want out of this one life? I have just one life to live. What do you want out of it? It depends on what you are ready to pay the price for. Lift up your right hand and just worship him. There are still people just coming to church, right? I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all. Take me, Lord, and use me, Lord, as an instrument of love. Let me be acceptable. Let me be pleasing to you.
There's one reason I'm alive, and that is to live for you. Nothing else is worth the while. Nothing else is worth. Take me, Lord, and use me, Lord, as an instrument. Let me be pleased.
Let me be acceptable.
Let me be pleasing to you.
There's one reason I'm alive.
Reason I'm alive, and that is to live for you. Nothing else is worth a while. Nothing else is valuable. Lord, Lord, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to see your face. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to be for you.
Again, Lord, I want
to know you more. Lord, I want to see your face.
Help a man there. Man, shut up.
Lord, I want to see your face.
I have just one life to live. you can. Mahashatala Labaya. Glory, I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all eternity. Oh, I have one life to live, and in my glory for you, I am yours, O Lord, and for all eternity. Lift your hands and speak to God. Lord, I come before you to surrender my life in consecration. To surrender my life for forgiveness for my sins. I am before you today asking for your mercy. I am before you today asking for forgiveness. I am before you today asking for mercy. I am before you today asking for forgiveness. Open your mouth and speak to God. Forgive me, cleanse me, renew me. Anywhere I have offended you, anywhere I have erred, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Cleanse me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. Open your mouth and speak to God. Pray again and say, Father, I ask for the fresh discipline of prayer and fasting. The fresh discipline. The
fresh discipline.
All right, before we go there, Father, I ask for fresh light.
Father, I ask for fresh light
from the Word.
From the Word.
And a fresh release.
And a fresh release
of faith.
Of faith.
Fresh light.
Fresh light.
And insight.
And insight.
From the Word of God.
From the Word of
and
God.
And a fresh release.
And a fresh release
of faith.
Of faith.
I receive it now.
I receive it now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
open
Jesus.
Open your mouth and speak to God. Papa shata kapala gada gaba gada dia. Ete kepe kola tada baka laga diga baka laga dia. Elaka te kepe kola gada gaba gada 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 baka laga dia. Ne shama daya. In the name of Jesus, the Lord has answered us in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father, I make demands for fresh passion and discipline in prayer and fasting. Fresh passion and discipline in prayer and fasting. I make demands for fresh passion and discipline in prayer and fasting. Open your mouth and speak to God. Jesus. And I lift your hands and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
Wherever you may lead.
Wherever you may lead.
I will go. To see your power.
To see your power.
And your glory.
And your glory.
In the land of the living.
In the land of the living.
Father.
Father.
Help me.
Help me.
To be able. To meet the demand.
To meet the demand.
And pay the price.
And pay the price.
To see your best.
To see your best.
In my life.
In my life.
In the land of the living.
In the land of the living.
I receive that grace.
I receive that grace.
Now. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Pray. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands again and pray for Nigeria. Father, take us where we must go. We cannot miss it this time. Is it correct to miss it this time? Disaster. We cannot miss it this time. Father, lead us, lead Nigeria into our destiny. In your power, in your mercy. Lift your hands and say, Father,
lead Nigeria
into the center of your power and your glory in this season. We cannot miss it. Now, we cannot. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Yeah. Lord Jesus. Lift your hands everywhere you are and receive something. Just receive something from God. Receive something. A mantle is about to drop on you. Fresh fire, fresh power to overcome frustration, stagnation, resistance, opposition, to prevail, for fresh direction, fresh help. That's right. You have stayed too long on that mountain. It's time to move forward. Today is the day you'll be free completely from ancestral curses, generational curses, witchcraft limitation. Lift up your two hands.
Lift your hands and receive. Lift your hands and receive. Something is dropping. 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 Deliverance is dropping. Healing is dropping. Liberty is dropping. Freedom is dropping. Grace is dropping. Help is dropping. That's right. That's right. Mercy is dropping. Lift your hands up. Lift your hands up. Father, let a revival mantle fall for someone. A help, a healing, a deliverance, a freedom, a turnaround, a change of story, a change of situation. Oh, Mahasha. Hey, hey! Man, lift your hands up. Say in the name of Jesus, place your hands and scream, I receive. And you receive what God is dropping for you today. Father, let it drop. Let grace drop. Let mantle drop. Let oil drop. In the name of Jesus! And place your hand on your
Take a back at the cabalerie.
Of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. Adoration to your name. Honor to your name. Worship to your name. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Elion. Be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as you take your seat. Drastic deliverances, drastic healings, drastic miracles, I believe, have taken place. And everyone who is here this afternoon, something happened to you just now. A healing, a deliverance, an encounter, a change of story. I'd like you to quickly step forward. I'll take the first five that come. Something happened to you. And the first person to come will stand on the first line. The second person will be next to them, just like that. Oh, Lord, we wait on you for fire. No. Line, not a back. You are doing the confession. You are the major confession now. That person came first. Just come here. Like horizontal. Yes. There are more than five now. Fire, Lord. Lord, we wait on you. Thank you. we give you the praise. Tell us what happened.
Our sister said yesterday evening she walked into an atmosphere, demonic atmosphere, and that left her with a heavy load on top of her head. She became feverish all of a sudden, was also contemplating either to come to service or not. But she came in that state all the same, and in the midst of the worship, she said something lifted from her, and she became well on the spot.
Give the Lord the praise.
Our sister said, while the ministration was on, she had an encounter where she found herself in her father's compound and standing under a tree. Then the heavens were open and she felt showers on her head. Then it continued in the service here where she saw God's servant walked up to her and pulled off a dark garment.
Dark garment.
Putting on and wore a white garment upon her.
But then she lifted at Calvary.
Our brother Joshua said he has had this scrotal growth that has lasted since 2017 for
scrotal.
Over scrotal growth. Very painful, terrible pains, excruciating pains.
Since
2017.
5 years.
5 years. But at the shout of I receive, he said that growth disappeared, all the associated pains gone. And it's here to give
pain
God.
In the scrotum. Every mountain is standing in your life. Today I declare the mountain is over. Be free. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your hope is almost sinking.
What happened? Sister Esther Okorua was diagnosed of corneal ulcer last year.
Corneal ulcer, which
resulted in the blindness of the left eye.
Eh? Corneal ulcer led to the blindness of the left eye. Ulcer of the cornea.
Yes, sir. She came into the church in that condition, and the heat of that prayer says something hit her. All of a sudden, she started seeing clearly with her eye.
You couldn't even open the eye. Not to talk of seeing.
Yes.
Corneal ulcer blasted back to hell. Come over here. Corneal cancer. Cancer didn't know where to go except the cornea of the eye. It's not even permitted to go anywhere at all. You don't want to hold it. Give the Lord a praise. Hold this for me. Father, I ask that this cancer would die and go to hell. And everyone here today that is a victim of any terminal disease, any spirit of death, cancer, kidney failure, liver disease, whatever it is, HIV, I command you, go back to hell. I command the balance of it to disappear. The cornea ulceration be cleared out so that the eye can be as clear and clean as the second eye. In Jesus' name. What a miracle.
So this is Sister Tokwe, a very interesting encounter. She said at the shout of I receive, the Lord opened her eyes. She saw a personality dressed in white on a white horse with a shiny sword that declared it is time for revival. Immediately the whole dome was filled with water. The altar was like a fountain, and the water for everybody was at different levels. Some had at the ankle level, some the knee level, some the waist, others the neck. And she's here to give God praise for that divine encounter, and she believes something new has happened in her life.
Oh, Lua,
So many. If there's anyone pertaining to our country, Nigeria, let me know, because we prayed for the nation. Yes, tell me.
Very drastic healing, yes, sir. She said about 3 months ago, the left ear started bringing blood and pus flowing out. She was meant to be operated, but her daughter said, come over to the UK so that it can be operated. She's about to travel tomorrow. She decided to come today. Right now, she said the pus has dried up. The ears just popped open. She can hear.
Are you? She's about to travel to the UK. UK, right?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, God said, you can travel for holiday, but not for the operation anymore. Not for the disease, not for the affliction anymore. Somebody stand and give the Lord a shout of victory. Look at your neighbor. Say, you owe the devil nothing. Say, God is canceling that agenda of the enemy from your life. Give the Lord a shout of praise as you take your seat. Congratulations, man. Powerful. This is the kind of God I like to serve. Things happening of their own accord. Just enjoying our life in service. Yes.
The baby had an interesting encounter about Nigeria. I'd want her to see it herself.
I saw 4 men squeezing the Nigerian flag.
4 men squeezing the Nigerian flag.
Then I saw another man wearing white with a sword and then killed all the 4 men squeezing the Nigerian flag. And then the person wearing white poured anointing oil over the Nigerian flag.
Wow. All those who want Nigeria destroyed are about to die. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Somebody shout power. If I saw this kind of vision at your age, will I still be at this level? Fresh grace. You will not miss road in all your journey through life. You won't miss it in school. You won't miss it in career. You won't miss it in marriage. And you will not miss it in kingdom assignment. Jesus' name. Give the Lord the praise. All right. We have so many people here today. But in the course of the service. Now the service is ending now. In the course of the convention this week. I'd like you to testify your own. In the course of the convention. Tuesday service. Wednesday midweek service. Throughout the week. Let us hear from you. Now, celebrations as they go back, your impact and your encounters are permanent in Jesus' name. Give them all the praise as they go back. Everyone here this morning in need of surrender to Jesus, you need your sins forgiven. You are saying to me, Pastor, I want to make my ways right with God. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. Place your hand on your chest everywhere you are as you pray this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.